Today is the fourth Sunday in Lent. The scripture lessons are from Isaiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, and the Gospel of Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, and 11 through 32. Today's message is titled, God is My Salvation. From the prophet Isaiah, chapter 12, beginning at the first verse. In that day you will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day, you will say, give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. Here ends the reading from the prophet Isaiah. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, beginning of verse 1. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. Now jumping down to verse 11 to continue. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to the father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he said, And your father has filled the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thou hast given us thy word for a light to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that word and to follow its teachings that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In St. Paul's letter to Timothy, we find these words written in the scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus, Christ Jesus, came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. The gospel of Jesus Christ in one simple sentence. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. How often do we forget this simple truth? Christ Jesus came to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. Such an amazing truth, and such a hard truth to swallow at sometimes. Sinners, it is sinners he came to save. Therefore, there can be no claim of righteousness on our own part, nor any "we deserve this" expectation. Salvation is a free gift wrought by the work of Christ on the cross. This welcoming of broken and hurting sinners Jesus did on a daily basis is one of the things that just drove the religious leaders into a frenzy. Look, he welcomes tax collectors. Look, he welcomes sinners. This was so off-putting, the religious leaders would not listen to the words Jesus said. For a man who welcomes such a revolting and vile things cannot have anything of value to say, for such a man cannot be of God. To eat with a person, to break bread with them, it's a sign of fellowship, of friendship, of hospitality amongst the Jewish people. That good, respectable people just don't do it with those debased creatures. To receive tax collectors and sinners with kindness and tenderness is not what respectable religious people would do. Rather, tax collectors and sinners would be driven off. Get away from me. Don't want your sin to fall on me to contaminate me. Get away, scoot, scram, get out of here. None of this rejecting attitude was found in Jesus. The tax collectors, the sinners, is exactly who he came to save. Unfortunately, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law were so caught up in their own self-righteousness, they could not see their own sin and could not see their Savior and had forgotten the compassion the Lord God has for all people. They were looking for another Messiah, for they could not comprehend a God so gracious, so compassionate, to tenderly and kindly welcome sinners. Yet, that is exactly what the nature and character of the living Lord God is. The character of the Messiah sent, who is tenderly and kindly welcoming the sinner with mercy and compassion. For Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. The parable of the prodigal son is, for me, the most telling parable about the nature of the compassion of the Father in heaven has for us. Plain and clear is compassion so freely offered to one so most undeserving. A son demands his share of the estate and then goes off to a distant country and wastes it all in riotous living. Goes off to a far country to misbehave and do whatever his heart can think of in wild living. The Greek word translated as wild living in the past was usually translated as prodigal, prodigally. And that's why this parable is called the prodigal son. The wild living, living prodigally. That's why the parable is known as the prodigal son. But digging deeper into the Greek word, to the etymology of the word, a deeper understanding is offered to us. Digging deeper, the root word is a compound word. Its first part of it is A, alpha, just A. And it means without. It's like the exact opposite. I don't do it. Out. The exact opposite. So A. And sozo. Sozo is the second half of the word, and that means save. So the exact opposite of save. That's what this wild living means. It's the exact opposite of save. Exact opposite of sozo. It means without salvation. His wild living was actually living without salvation. Wild living and prodigal living is living in spiritual wastefulness. It means without salvation. It's a spiritual wasteland from the excessive behavior and the dire consequences that behavior brings. It is living in a way that is ever more and more and more spiraling out of control, down and down and down into destruction. To help make clear how far down the son fell in debauchery, the far country the son traveled to was a Gentile land. The clue is the pigs. Jewish people don't keep pigs. They don't eat pigs. They're defiled animals. So he went in a land of pigs. So there's your clue. It was a Gentile land. And son eventually ended up feeding pigs. It was so hungry, he was desiring to eat the pig slop himself. Like many a rebellious person, the son threw off what he considered to be what was constraining his life, keeping the fun out of his life, the laws of God. They keep fun out of life. They constrain life. Have you heard people speak that way? Well, that's the way the prodigal son in this parable behaved. He threw off the constraints of the Word of God so he could do as he pleased, indulged in sensuality without any thought to think of the things of the Lord God. He threw off the constraints of God and he headed to the land of the Gentiles, the Greeks, to join in their wild, rebellious, sensual living. All seemed well till the wealth was gone. He was alone and famine came. So low the sun had fallen that pig food, far from being kosher, pig food was all he could munch on. And that was not enough, not much to quell his aching tummy. Now, one thing to note how this parable is being taught is that the father gave the resources to the son and allowed the son to go off. The father did not run after him, did not go after him at all, did not search for him, just let the son go off. Let him go and let him fall into sin. It's the mystery of free will. The Father in heaven, in his sovereignty, created free will. Can do good, can do wrong. God made us with free will and allows us to exercise that free will, doing good or going off and doing bad, as the son, prodigal son, chose to go off and do wrong. And the father let the son go off and find out for himself the consequences. C.S. Lewis writes in The Case for Christianity, God created things which had free will. That means creatures where it can go wrong or right. Some people think they can imagine a creature which was free but had no possibility of going wrong. But I can't. If a thing is free to be good, it is also free to be bad. And free will is what has made evil possible. Why then did God give them free will? Because free will, though it makes evil possible, is also the only thing that makes possible any love or goodness or joy worth having. A world of automata, of creatures that work like machines, would hardly be worth creating. The happiness which God designs for his higher creatures is the happiness of being freely, voluntarily united to him and to each other in an ecstasy of love and delight. And for that, they've got to be free. Free will, for good, for bad. The son ran off and used it for bad. Finally, the son came to himself. In other words, returned to whom he ought to be. His thinking returned to whom he ought to be, the son of the father. Or at least perhaps a hired hand of his father, for he would be treated better and have an abundance of food to eat. It was hitting rock bottom is when the son came to his senses and understood how foolish he had been. Luke chapter 15, beginning of verse 17. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. The son recognized if he stayed where he was in that Gentile land, he would perish. And the meaning of the word die, I'll surely die, perish, is utterly perish. It's a permanent and absolute destruction. Gone. If he stayed where he was, not returned to his home, not returned to his father, he would be gone. He would be gone, 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 lost forever. In other words, without salvation. Hitting rock bottom, coming to his senses, the son recognized what he had done. I have sinned against heaven and against you. That's what he's going to say to his father. I have sinned. He recognized what he was done was wrong. It is sin. How did he know it was sin? How did he recognize it was wrong? The scriptures, the word of God, the written word of God. Will you find the laws of the Lord? Doing as the Gentile Greeks did was very much against the law of the Lord God. As such, what is being pushed today, it is not new under the sun. The sensuality shoved on ever younger and younger children, which is grooming, yes, it's grooming, is not new. What is shoved these days is what the Gentile Greeks did many years ago, which is inferred in the wild living of the prodigal son. The Greeks did these things till the gospel of Jesus Christ came into their hearts and redeemed their souls. Salvation came to them. Their lifestyles were transformed. Modesty, purity, chastity as single, and fidelity as married, husband and wife, came into their hearts. And the abominations of Caligula were left behind as against the ways of the living God, therefore unbecoming of a follower of Jesus Christ. The whole culture was transformed. What we are witnessing these days is the sensuality of the Gentile Greeks being revived, and it is of the evil one. Sensuality without the constraints of chastity and fidelity, as the Father designed and expressed through His will, written in the law, and it leads to spiraling down, down, down to destruction, which is to perish and be without salvation. Yet the Father wants no one to perish, but all to come to repentance. It's written in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The Lord is patient with you in your free will, that you would turn to Him and come home. Repentance, like the prodigal son. The son turned around and returned home. Choose to go home. Choose to go to the Father. What kind of reception will he receive? He had demanded his portion and left. He wasted his portion in wild living. Doesn't expect to be received as a son. Perhaps a hired hand. For being a hired hand is better than perishing. Trepidation, anxiety, overwhelming, growing with each dusty step towards home. What will happen? I mean, it's common emotions one can infer from the story. He's heading home to his father that he's taken his portion from and wasted. He's heading home. How will I be received? And we wonder, after all the sins we've done, we come to God wondering, how will I be received? Anxiety is there. Perhaps you've experienced it. Trepidation. Will God reject me? Let's hear more of the parable that Jesus told. Luke chapter 15, verse 20. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The way the action unfolds as Jesus tells the parable is the father is constantly on the lookout for his son. The father is keeping watch. Perhaps my son will come home today. I need to keep watch for him. Day in and day out, the father's vigilance is inferred. The father sees his son while the son is a long way off. The father saw his son and was filled with compassion and ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. Why would Jesus use that expression for the father? It's so unexpected. It's because that's the way God the Father looks upon you and me, looks upon us. Come home to me. Come home to me. Compassion is ever waiting there. A father run to the son? Wow! Noblemen don't run. Yet the father ran. The joy, the exuberance at his son's return. My son is alive! My son has come home! Jesus is telling this parable so we can get to know the nature and character of the living God, get to know the nature and character of Jesus, who is the Christ, the Messiah. But he's also telling the parable for a reason. It's telling the parable in answer to why he welcomes tax collectors, why he welcomes sinners, why he eats with them and shows them tenderness and kindness. Jesus has compassion on them all. Jesus wants them all to come to their senses and come home. The Father in heaven sent the Son so we all would come home, come to him. Compassion, yes, there's compassion for our fallenness. Compassion for us, even though we have all made foolish decisions, done things we ought not to have done, and experienced, oh Lord, can I really find forgiveness? Compassion, oh, says yes. One may say, but you don't know what I've done. There's no way God will forgive me. Perhaps you've said that at one time or another in your life. Many have these feelings of being unforgivable. Perhaps because they have not experienced forgiveness from others. Or perhaps they've heard, I will never forgive you for what you've done for another person. And so they take that and place that on God, thinking God will never forgive us. The tax collectors and sinners were so shunned, they thought of themselves outside of God's mercy and compassion. Jesus, by his actions and along with his words, shows that to be untrue. There is compassion for sinners. Unending, ever overflowing compassion for all sinners, even for the worst of sinners, of whom I am the worst of the worst of the worst. Perhaps you felt that about yourself at one time or another. I am the worst, the worst, the worst sinners. And compassion of God is for you. Yes, the compassion of God is for you. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 9. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. What you have done has been done before. Sinners, we all are sinners, and the sins we have done have been done by others before us. The Father has seen the worst of his creation and what his creation can do and what we still are doing to each other. The Father has seen the worst we can do and still sent the Son to save. To save you, to save even the worst of the worst of the worst of the worst of the worst sinners. The Father sent the Son to save. The Father's created creatures created in his own image. Human beings crucified the Son of God. Human hands nailed the Son of God to the cross. As this was taking place, Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, prayed, Father, forgive them. Human hands pierced his side with a spear. Jesus died on the cross to save, to pay the redeeming price for all sin. Did we deserve such a great gift? Not at all. We are undeserving, just as the Son. The prodigal son is undeserving to be welcomed home in any manner. Neither as a son, neither as a hired hand, not welcomed at all. He is undeserving to be welcomed. It's the Father's compassion. Not that he's deserving or undeserving. It's the Father's compassion. The Father's compassion, arms of compassion. They surrounded the Son and kissed the Son who had come home. The Son says, Luke chapter 15, verse 21, Son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Notice the Father did not respond to these words. That's how Jesus told the parable. The Father did not respond to those words at all. Rather, a celebration was declared. Why? Luke chapter 15, verse 32. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. He was perishing. He was without salvation. And now he is found. We had to celebrate. Sinners, compassion is calling you to come home. Leave the lostness and come home. Be found by the Father whose compassion is ever eager and ever watching for your return home. Come home. Come home to the God who saves. It is written in Isaiah chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. In that day you will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Surely God is my salvation. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord, my strength, my song, my salvation. Sinners, compassion is calling you to come home. Compassion is ever eager and ever watching for your return home to the Father. Come home. Come home to the God who saves through the precious blood of Jesus Christ's finished work on the cross. Come home and with joy, yes, with joy, draw water from the wells of salvation. Joy, with joy, draw from the waters of the wells of salvation. The prodigal son found compassion in his father. You will find compassion in the Father. Amen and amen.